Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the show, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of The Adventures of the Falcon. The original air date, December 10th, 1950, and the title is The Case of the Raw Deal.
The Kraft Foods Company brings you The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, Eloise. Oh, I'd love to see you, but I'm afraid you'll have to deal me out tonight, Angel. Mm-hmm. I have a job to do for some characters who got involved in a stiff poker game. Started out nice and friendly, but before they got through, they found they were playing for blood.
This is Ed Herlihy, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves the case of the raw deal. Before we join the Falcon in his latest adventure, I'd like to tell you folks about Kraft's golden cheese food, Velveeta. Velveeta is such good eating. Just taste that grand, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And Velveeta is so good for you. It's rich in important food values from milk itself. For swell-tasting snacks, for good, hearty sandwiches, for thrifty, easy, hot dishes, it's smart to keep stocked with Velveeta. Get it tomorrow in the handy quarter-pound package or in the economical 2-pound loaf. The cheese food of top quality. Velveeta is made only by Kraft. And now, the case of the raw deal. It's Sunday night in New York, and in room 508 of the Room Hotel Westland, four men sit around a table on which stand a couple of beer bottles, some glasses, butt-filled ashtrays, and $65,000 in cash. Gilbert Bannister, eldest and fattest of the group, studies the five playing cards in his hand, then places them face down on the table. Picks up the deck, turns to the tall, blonde young man on his left.
How many, Summers?
I'll take two, Bannister.
Two it is. Kress?
I'll play these.
Pat, huh? Looks like your luck's changing, Kress.
Maybe.
Well, how about you, Freitag?
Yeah, I have to think about this pet hand of Kress's.
Yes, who is it?
Bellboy.
All right, come in. Well, Freitag, made up your mind?
Yeah. I think I'd take one card.
All right. There you are. And now you, son, you can put the beer down. Say, you're not a bellboy.
Well, what do you know? I guess I'm not.
Look out, he's got a gun.
That's right, Bright Eyes, sharp fella. Everybody sit tight except Fatso. You, Fatso, get up.
Me?
Who else? Get up. I'll walk over to the wall and face it. That's right. We do this one at a time. Now you, Blondie.
I guess that means me.
I guess it does. Now, Bright Eyes.
Okay, okay. Only be careful with that gun.
Yeah, sure, Bright Eyes, sure. Well, Baldy, that leaves you. Come on, get moving.
All right. Only first I do this.
All right, hold it, fella. Stay right where you are. Baldy made a little mistake, that's all. He's sleeping it off. Well, I better clear up this table so you fellas can have some more room. Get all this cash off it. All right, fellas, here we are. Now you can get back to your game. Only, I think this time it's going to be penny ante. So long. Who's there?
Me, Rocky Hazel.
Oh, just a second. Hello, baby.
Hello, Rocky. Hey, you're packing. We going someplace?
I am.
Alone?
Look, I just made a big haul, kid. May have to keep on the move for a while. Can't carry extra weight.
I carry my own weight, Rocky. You know that.
Well, it complicates things. When I'm settled...
You know something? This has all the earmarks of a brush.
Now, believe me, kid.
That'll be the day.
I'm going to send for you.
I can hardly wait. Fact is, I'm not going to wait. You're taking me with you, or it's goodbye now.
And it's goodbye.
Just like that.
That's the way you want it.
I can see you're all broken up about it.
Well, you're not shedding any tears.
I have already. I've seen this coming for a long time.
Well, maybe it's a good thing we've got it settled.
Maybe it is.
Didn't work out, that's all. No reason to get sore at each other, huh, baby?
Oh, I'm not sore at you, Rocky.
Good.
I'm sore at myself. Being such a sucker. Letting you kid me along.
I wasn't kidding. It's just
not
that I...
Not much you weren't.
No, I'm not going to argue about it. It's all over now. Nothing we can do.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Rocky. I might think of something. At least it's worth a try.
Hello?
Is Michael Waring there, the Falcon?
This is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, good. My name is Gilbert Bannister. I have a job for you, sir.
What kind of job?
Well, some friends and I were robbed last night, and we want you to find the thief.
Why did you wait till this morning to call me?
Why, I don't know. We were upset. I realize it was foolish. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have to apologize. But you may have to kick in with traveling expenses. If it was good pickings, the crook is probably on his way to Timbuktu by now. How much did he take?
$65,000.
Ah, Timbuktu, here I come.
Well, first, can you come over here to the Hotel Westland? We'd like to talk to you.
All right, Bannister, I'll be seeing you.
So, I can introduce you to the others, Mr. Waring. Gentlemen, here's the Falcon. This is Harry Summers and Otto Freitag.
Waring,
how do you know? You told me there were four of you, Bannister.
Yes, that's right, Waring. We agreed to meet here, but Dave Kress hasn't shown up. I called his room, but he's out.
I see.
Well, gentlemen, I've given Waring a brief account of what happened, as I remember it, but he wants to check certain points with you.
Surely, Waring, anything we can do to help?
Oh, thanks, Summers.
But I'm afraid there's not much we can tell you. None of us ever saw this man before.
I know, Freitag, but you'd be surprised at the sort of things that sometimes prove useful in a case like this.
What sort of things?
Well, your head, for instance.
My head?
Yeah, Bannister told me you put up a fight and got clouded for your trouble.
Yeah. Very foolish, I realize now. But I don't see what
that
has
to... You don't have to see. Let me see. Well, you got quite a lump there. And a cut.
Yeah, he hit me with his gun.
Just what are you trying to prove, Waring?
Well, Summers, you fellas want me to find the man who swiped your dough. So far, Bannister has given me a description. But there are 10 million people in New York, if he stays in New York. I'll need more than just a description.
Well, how do you think this bump on my head will help? You think maybe he left fingerprints?
Oh, it just seems to me that the easiest way to find our boy is to discover which one of you he's working with.
What do you mean?
Now, just a minute, Waring. Are you accusing one of us?
Well, the crook knew there was a game going on in here.
Well, we're here for a convention, Waring. Mm-hmm. There are nearly always card games in the evening.
Yes, but not with $65,000 in cash on the table.
Well, that's true,
this was a big game, and the crook selected this room.
Still, it's preposterous to think that one of us... Well,
Bannister, are you trying to tell me that you boys all have complete trust in one another?
more or less. I don't think we'd care to accuse each other of, well, thievery.
Mm-hmm. Why were you playing for cash?
Well,
He's right, Bannister. He's absolutely right. We didn't trust each other's checks. How can we trust each other's words?
That's it, Freitag.
Get out of here, Waring. Your services aren't required after all. I'm not going to have my friends insulted.
Or yourself.
Or myself. Get out.
Now, just a minute, Bannister.
Now, you keep out of this, Freitag. Well, Waring.
All right. I'm going. I see I got a little too close for comfort.
What do you mean by that?
Here, keep your hands to yourself, Bannister. Just had the suit cleaned.
What did you mean?
I told you to lay off. Oh.
You change your mind again, you know where to find me. Oh, so long, gentlemen.
Just a minute, Waring. Were you accusing me personally?
Look, you're too touchy, Bannister. I was suspicious of all of you. That's why I wanted to see Freitag's head. To see if he'd really been clouded or was just faking.
So that's why you wanted to find out if I was really hit or just pretending, hmm?
That's right. A staged fight would make a nice cover if you were in the deal. But that blow is a little too hard to be a phony.
Yeah, I'm glad you realize that.
Unless your confederate got a little overenthusiastic. That could have happened too, you know.
Ah. For a moment, I was hoping you were going to clear me.
Well, chances are I'm going to be able to clear all of you. If you still want me to.
But you said one of us
was... I said one of your card party, Summers. How about the one who isn't here?
Cress?
Yes, Bannister says he's not in the hotel.
Yes, but he could have gone out to breakfast.
So he could. He could also have left town.
What are you doing now?
Finding out. Hello, desk, please. One will get you five. He's checked out.
Well, what will we do if he has?
Look for him. Am I still working for you?
Well, I guess you are, Waring.
All right. Hello, can you tell me if David Kress has checked out yet? Mm-hmm.
Well?
They're looking it up. Hello? Yes? What's that? You sure? All right, thanks.
Well, has he?
No, Bannister, he hasn't.
Looks like we've hired us the wrong detective.
Maybe so, Summers. I could have sworn Kress had skipped. I don't know how to figure this one.
Well, maybe that's him now.
I'll go see.
Are you Gilbert Bannister?
Yes.
Sergeant Corbett, Police Department.
Police?
Corbett! Don't tell me you've been transferred to missing persons.
Oh, you would be here, Waring. No, I'm not missing persons. And if I was, I wouldn't be looking for you.
Are you looking for me?
Don't make me laugh. I came up to talk to Bannister. Understand he's a friend of Dave Kress.
That's right, Sergeant. What about Kress? Has he done something?
It's the other way around.
What's that?
Yeah, Bannister. Somebody pumped a couple of slugs in him. He's dead. Waring, why don't you toddle along? There must be some mentally underdeveloped girl who just loved to hold hands with you.
Well, you know me, Corbett. Business before pleasure. I'll help you search Cress's room.
If I find anything important, I'll let you know.
Yes, but how will you know what is important unless I'm around to point it out? Now, come on, let's go in.
Scram?
No, you don't mean that. You couldn't do without me.
Wouldn't I love to try it sometime?
Oh, come on, open the door.
Well, remember... You don't touch anything.
I wouldn't dream of it.
It's not dreams I'm worrying about. If I catch you trying to snitch any clues...
Believe me, Corbett, you don't have a thing to worry about on that score.
I hope not.
I guarantee it. I positively guarantee you won't catch me.
Very funny. Anyway, I warned you. Any monkey business, and I throw the book at you for obstructing justice. If you think I'm going to let our friendship stop me...
That's a new name for it.
Drop dead, Waring.
Yeah, sure, later. Right now we've got... Hey, look at this.
What is it?
A card with a name and phone number typed on it.
Let's see that.
You're welcome.
Get me Plaza 93098. Yeah.
You don't believe in wasting time, do you, Corbett?
Can't hurt to check. Hello, I want to speak to Mr. Rockwell. He has, eh? When? I see. Okay, thanks. Checked out last night.
Well, that fits. He must be the guy I'm looking for.
Maybe.
Some merry-go-round. Go on a chase for Kress, he winds up dead. Then widen the chase to who he was working with, he winds up gone.
Well, if that kind of luck's gonna hang on, do me a favor, will you, Waring?
Yeah, sure, what's that?
Go chase yourself, huh?
It's It's lighter bodied. It's super fined.
It's Kraft Salad Oil, the first salad oil ever offered for home use by the makers of all those wonderful Kraft prepared salad dressings. Yes, there is something new under the sun at your grocer's right now. A new salad oil, Kraft Salad Oil. The first salad oil ever offered for home use by the makers of all those wonderful Kraft prepared dressings. Wait till you try it in those wonderful salad dressings you make yourself. Those light-as-air chiffon cakes you're so proud of in all your special recipes that call for liquid shortening. For Kraft Salad Oil is more than just a new oil. It's a new kind of oil. Super fine for better blending by a special new Kraft process. Because it's lighter bodied, it mixes perfectly with all ingredients. Puts new magic into dressings, cooking, and baking. Don't wait. Put this new salad oil on your shopping list right now. Remember,
it's lighter bodied. It's super fine.
Get Kraft Salad Oil tomorrow at your grocer's. Look for the bottles with the beautiful labels.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. A day has passed since Mike discovered the probable name of the man he is hired to find. And with the name to go on, he's been checking with people who knew the fellow. Waiter, can you... So he winds up at the cashier's desk in a small downtown cafe.
Hello, Hazel.
Do I know you?
Well, if you don't, here's your chance. My name's Mike Waring.
Can't you see I'm busy?
All right, go ahead. Make change. I won't interfere.
What do you want?
Where can I find Rocky Rockwell?
Why ask me?
You're his girlfriend.
Don't make me laugh. Rocky doesn't have any friends, girl or otherwise.
Well, if you're not his friend, you have no reason to try to shield him.
Who says I'm trying to shield him?
You won't tell me where to find him.
I don't know. Why do you want him?
Well, if you're no friend, it shouldn't matter.
It does.
Why?
Well, if you're going to make trouble for him...
What makes you think that?
You said I was shielding him. That smells like trouble.
So you won't tell me where he is?
I told you I don't know where he is. But if I could be sure you were going to make enough trouble for him... I might try to find out.
Front, please. Front.
Ah, Waring. Hello there.
Oh, hello, Bannister. I'm just going up to your room.
Well, I'm glad we caught you.
Oh, Summers.
Waring.
Hello.
Well, shall we tell him what we decided?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I suppose you get to it. The suspense is boring me.
Well, Waring, it's just that the situation has changed.
Oh, has it, Summers?
Certainly. We hired you to track down an unknown thief. Now, he's no longer unknown.
His whereabouts aren't.
True, but now that he's wanted for murder, Mr. Waring, the police will spare no effort to capture him.
No comment, Freitag. Go on.
Well, retaining a private detective is rather expensive. $50 a day plus expenses, that's no small sum.
Mm-hmm. So we settle up and call it a day, all right?
Yeah, of course you understand, Waring. This in no way implies criticism. It's just
that...
it's
all right, Bannister. Freitag made it clear.
Just so we understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to pay for all you've done.
I see. Well, in that case, you deserve a report. You might be interested to know I've found out who Rockwell's girlfriend is.
So?
So... and I have a date with her tonight. I'm picking her up at her apartment at 8:15. Shall I keep it?
Well, do you think you'll be able to learn anything from her?
Well, Summers, she's taking me to meet Rockwell.
Meet Rockwell?
Yes, I kidded her into thinking I was on Rockwell's side. So, chums, do I keep my date or do you want to leave it to the police?
Well, Waring, we had no idea. I mean, if you're this close, keep on by all means, right, gentlemen?
Why, of course.
Naturally,
Well, thanks. I'm overwhelmed by your generosity. Now that I'm a cinch to bring home your 65 grand, you're willing to keep me on the payroll another 50 bucks worth.
Oh, I'm sorry if you think we were hasty before, Waring. It's just that we can't see throwing money away, that's all.
I see. Well, in that case, Summers, next time you play for high stakes, lock the door.
Kid, let me in.
What are you doing here?
I've changed my plans. Shut the door. I don't want anybody to see me.
It's a little late for you to come running to Mama, don't you think?
Don't be like that, baby.
How do you expect me to be?
Well, I'm here. I came back.
Because you want something.
I just want you, that's all.
You sure acted like
it. Well, I was worried. I had to make a getaway. But after I left, I got to thinking about you.
I'll bet.
Well, I'm here, ain't I? The whole town looking for me. I'm risking my neck being here. What more proof do you want? Oh, baby, come
on. Now, let's go. Let go.
I can't be without you, baby. I just can't. You don't want me to let go. Here's what you want. That's more like it. Look, I can't hang around here. The law's sure to come looking. I got to blow again, baby. Only this time you're going with me.
All right, Rocky.
That's my girl. Now, I got to go see somebody. There's something I've got to settle. Then I'll be back and we'll make our plan.
Yeah.
So long, sweetheart. Up you see.
Bye, Rocky.
Hello?
Mr. Waring?
Yeah?
This is Hazel Gardner. You asked me to call if I had any news for you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know where you can find Rocky.
And where?
At my apartment. He was here just a few minutes ago. He'll be coming back. What's so funny?
I tried a bluff and it turns out to be on the level.
What do you mean?
I mean, I didn't feel like quitting right when I was expecting a break. Only this isn't the break I expected.
I still don't get it.
Well, I'll be right over to wait for Rockwell to get back, and I can explain then.
All right, I'll be waiting.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Was that on the phone, baby?
Rocky! I didn't hear you come back.
You didn't answer my question.
How long have you been here?
Never mind. Who are you talking
to? Nobody. Nothing important. Why?
Well, because, like I said, I have something to settle. But I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to have to go out to settle it after all.
No, Rocky, let go!
Come back here.
Rocky, please!
Who are you talking to?
Oh,
who was it?
Rocky, you're hurting me.
Baby, I'm just a gimp.
Ow!
Hello?
Is that Hazel Gardner's apartment?
Yeah, hello, Corbett.
Is that you, Waring?
Uh-huh. You want to talk to Hazel?
No, I want to talk to you.
Well, fancy that. How'd you know I was here?
Harry Summers told me you had a date with a girl.
Well, I did. It seems somebody beat me to it. She had a going over.
Huh? She's not dead?
No, but kind of the worse for wear.
Who did it?
I think it was Rockwell, but I'm not sure. She doesn't make much sense yet. That's how come I answered the phone.
We'll see if you can straighten her out and get her over here right away, will you?
Over where?
Hotel Wesleyan. I'll meet you in Summers' room. I want to talk to the girl and you and the three card players.
But Corbett, if they told you I was here, didn't they tell you what I was doing here?
Yeah, waiting for Rockwell.
That's right. Don't you want me to wait to see if he shows up?
He's not going to show up.
How do you know?
Because he's been murdered, too. That's why I want to see you.
Oh, hello, Waring.
Hello, Summers. Sergeant Corbett here.
Yeah, Waring, I'm here. Come in.
Sure. Come on, Hazel.
Why?
Yeah, you better sit right down there.
Thanks.
All right, Waring. Got any bright ideas?
About what?
The case. You're supposed to be so sharp.
Why, Corbett, you're not asking for my help.
Yeah, I'm asking. This case doesn't make sense, so it ought to be right down your alley.
I love that man.
Started out nice and simple. Kress and Rockwell pull a robbery, fight over the take. Rockwell knocks off Kress and scrams. But now somebody knocks off Rockwell.
Well, that's not such a terrific switch, Corbett.
Maybe not, but how about Bannister and Freitag?
Hey, what about them? I've been wondering why they're not here.
He's been wondering. They were supposed to have dinner with Summers tonight and didn't show up. They're not in their rooms, and no one knows that they'll be back.
Wait a minute, Corbett. Are you trying to tell
me... Yeah, Waring, Bannister and Freitag have disappeared. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Disappeared.
Miracle Whip
has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip
tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip,
only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip,
best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip is the only one of its kind because it's a different type of salad dressing made from a secret craft recipe. Miracle Whip combines the best qualities of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise, so it's truly distinctive and delicious. With a flavor millions of folks call just exactly right. Try it, won't you? One taste will tell you why it's America's favorite salad dressing. The one and only Miracle Whip.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon.
few minutes have passed since Sergeant Corbett announced that Bannister and Freitag had disappeared. Now in Summers' hotel room, Corbett paces the floor while Mike, Summers, and Hazel watch him. Suddenly, he wheels and faces the group.
Yo, Miss Gardner.
Yes?
Summers tells me you're Rockwell's girlfriend.
That's what Waring said.
Didn't you know about Hazel, Corbett?
Stop gloating, Waring. I had routine to take care of. I'd have got around to the girl.
Oh, sure.
Miss Gardner?
Yes?
Why did Rockwell slug you?
Which time?
Huh?
He's done it before.
Oh, I mean today.
He was angry.
Naturally, but why? What did you say to him?
When?
Today.
When today? We said lots of things.
When he got angry.
Nothing.
You must have said something.
When he gets angry, he does all the talking.
I mean before he got angry.
Oh, you said...
Never mind what I said. Let's take it from the beginning. When Rockwell first came into your apartment today...
Which time?
Oh, no. Forget it. Look, about the murder.
Which murder? Rocky's or Cress's?
Rockwell's murder. Waring, stop grinning.
I'm sorry, Corbett.
What about Rocky's murder?
I don't know. Skip it. You, Summers.
Yes?
You know if... Oh, what? Waring, see who it is?
Yes, sir. Oh, hello, Bannister.
Bannister, where in blazes have you been? Where's Freitag?
Freitag? I don't know. Probably on the same kind of goose chase I've been on, if he isn't here.
What kind of goose chase?
Well, Rockwell called me.
What? When?
This afternoon. Asked me to meet him at a downtown hotel and said he'd return our money.
Why didn't you tell somebody?
I didn't dare take the chance. He insisted nobody must know. I didn't want to spoil my chance.
So you went alone?
Yes. Kept waiting till I heard on the radio that Rockwell had been murdered. Then I rushed back here.
Mr. Bannister, you really expect anybody in his right mind to swallow a yarn like that?
Why not, Corbett? Makes sense to me.
I said in his right mind, Waring.
Well, after all, there must be some reason why Bannister dropped out of sight. This could explain it.
So could his killing Rockwell and hiding the money explain it?
Yeah, sure. Except he didn't do that.
How do you know?
Because Summers did.
Huh? Are you sure?
Well, don't ask me. Try Summers himself. How about it, Summers?
Watch him, Corbett.
I've got him.
No, you don't.
Hurry. Yeah, my turn.
Hold it, Summers. You're not going anywhere.
Good going, Waring.
Well, thanks, Corbett. I suppose a flying tackle is illegal, but then so is murder.
So we made a mistake about Cress, eh, Waring?
Yes, Bannister. He wasn't the one who was working with Rockwell. It was Summers. But something made Cress suspicious of him, and he followed Summers when he went to Rockwell's for the split.
And when Summers found out Cress had discovered his secret, he killed him.
Mm-hmm. And Rockwell was suspected of the murder. But he had no part of it, and he came back to prove it. He had some scheme to get the goods on Summers, but Summers caught on and killed him.
I see. And what made you suspect Summers?
Well, remember I told you I had a date with Rockwell's girlfriend?
Yes.
Well, I didn't mention her name. Just said she was Rockwell's girl. But when Corbett was looking for me, Summers told him to try Hazel's.
Oh, he did, huh?
Uh-huh. That meant Summers knew who Rockwell's girl was, so he was connected with Rockwell.
Oh, yes, I see, Waring. But it's still hard to believe about Summers. Seems such a nice chap. Has such an honest face.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show there are some things you can't take at their face value. Good night, Bannister.
Do you like rich, delicious, chocolate-flavored malted? Well, you can make a malted just like that right in your own kitchen with Kraft chocolate-flavored malted milk. Just make a tasty paste of Kraft chocolate-flavored malted milk and a little milk in the bottom of a big glass. Fill the glass with chilled milk, stir it once more, and there. A Kraft malted is mighty nourishing, too, because it's filled with all the food values in milk. Get a jar of Kraft chocolate-flavored malted milk from your grocer and enjoy a Kraft malted often.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you.
Welcome back. A really good twisty mystery that really just kept throwing you for a loop. Now, I also have to say about these gamblers. It says something about people who will put up tens of thousands of dollars in a poker game and then grouse over splitting $50 a day three or four ways. Yeah, I'm willing to wager $10,000, but I'm not some sort of spendthrift. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. And we start with a comment from Saysoft, who writes, Adam, I have to disagree with your comment about how people who grow up in the 30s and 40s would, of course, been listening to these old radio programs. My dad, who was born in 1931, and my mom, who was born in 1933, both completely missed the golden age of radio. My dad's family in Northern Virginia didn't have electricity in their house until 1945, and they never bothered to buy a battery-powered radio. Instead, my granddad, who played the fiddle, would get together with his friends to play music. Also, they had a portable wind-up Victrola and a small collection of records. According to my dad, after they finally did buy a radio, they only ever listened to the Grand Ole Opry on Friday nights. My mom's family lived on a dairy farm about 40 miles out of Rock Springs, Wyoming. Before they had electricity, they bought a battery-powered 1935 Montgomery Ward's Airline Console Radio. I know that's what it was because it's now sitting in my kitchen and is still operational. They don't make them like they used to, but Saysoft continues on. According to my mom, the only thing they ever used it for was to listen to the news, even after they got electricity so they wouldn't have to worry about running down the batteries. They apparently still listened to nothing but the news. I have to wonder how many other people of that era also missed the golden age of radio for similar reasons. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate the comment, Saysaw. Radio was not a universal experience, at least not completely. According to the census, by 1940, 82% of American households had a radio. And by the 1950 census, that was up to 96%. However, when you look at the 1940 census, there were quite a few gaps. People living in urban areas were more likely to have radios than those living in rural areas. People in the Northeast were far more likely to have radio than any other region of the country, and people in the South were far less likely. And whites were more likely to have radios than non-whites due to lower incomes and lack of economic opportunity. Now, it should also be said that just because your household doesn't own a radio doesn't mean that you didn't experience the golden age. Even many people who didn't have radios themselves, particularly in the urban areas, would have friends who would, and some programs would be listened to by the community. On my other podcast, the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon, we played an episode of the music program, Wings Over Jordan. And one of the stories I found about that series is that it was a program of spirituals performed by a black choir from Cleveland, and very popular nationwide. Only one recording that I've actually come across from the radio series that they did. But the story goes that in various black neighborhoods, that when it came time for Wings Over Jordan, people who had radios would open the window and everybody in the neighborhood would listen. And, of course, you would have various stores where they would be playing the radio. So even if you didn't own a radio, it would certainly be around you if you were in urban areas. The rural experience is a bit rough, and both of your parents came from those areas. And I think that in some cases, there could be barriers to really getting into a radio in terms of there being less signals that would actually reach certain areas. And beyond that, I think that what's really kind of different about our modern culture is we are a lot more entertainment focused. with a lot more opportunities for recreation, relaxation, and listening to and reading and watching, so many things, and can spend so much of our time doing that. For a lot of people who worked on farms, who, you know, really had a struggle for existence, their entire background and approach was, there's no time for that. A very sort of no-nonsense approach to life. And that's not really something you can account for, because, as you said, even once they got radio, it wasn't like they're like, oh, let's go tune in all these dramatic programs. It's the news, or it's the Grand Ole Opry. So obviously, for a variety of reasons, there were many people who missed out on, say, radio drama and radio comedies. But I think that it's still probably fair to say that that experience was much more the exception than the rule, although it did vary on what area of the country you lived in. And I guess for comparison, the most popular radio programs of the time were probably much more universally understood and culturally shared than our most common media and streaming experiences in the 21st century. Appreciate your perspective. And then we have a couple other comments on YouTube. Enrique writes, great video. And Jerry says, I like the Falcon. Thanks for the upload. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time to comment over on YouTube. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day, and I want to go ahead and thank Dan. Dan has been one of our Patreon supporters since March of 2016, currently supporting the podcast at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Dan, and that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software, and be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download us from. Be back next Monday with another episode of The Falcon. Next Tuesday, we will be featuring previously uncirculated episodes of Squad Room. But join us back here tomorrow for a previously unplayed episode of The Thin Man, where...
Go on, beat it.
I will not. You don't look like such a good ditch digger to me.
Go on, roll your hoop or I'll paste you one.
Why, Nicky, tell him I'm no hoop, I'm your wife.
Listen, you Toscanini of the shovel. I'm a taxpayer and I can watch you fill up a hole if I want to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There.
Oh. Nick, he hit you.
Oh, thanks for telling me, dear. I'd never have guessed.
The big gorilla. Sock him back.
Oh, darling, I don't know how I'd ever get along without your advice.
Oh!
Good for you, darling. Right on the button. Why, Nicky's running away. And so is his pal. I knew they were cowards. We showed them.
They're running to that parked car.
Well, make them come back, dear. They didn't finish their hole.
It's too late now. They're driving away. What?
What are you picking up there, Nick?
A dental bridge. Must have knocked it out of his mouth. Look down there, baby.
Hmm?
In the hole they were filling in.
What? What? It's a man's...
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.